last week we were discussing unusual types of Tzuras HaPesach, so we're going to continue in the Halachos of Tzuras HaPesach. I'm also trying to put together a shiur for those who are doing Daf Yomi, a review of all of Maseches Erevin in like 40 minutes or less. So we'll see how successful I am with that. But I mean, not like sugi by sugi, but the concepts that emerge from Maseches Erevin. But for tonight, again, we're sticking in Halacha, and we're going to discuss some of the very common, again, all of these Halachos of Erevin come up all the time. We just don't know about it because we're not busy checking Erevin, but these are all Halachos that are very much halacha l'maisa. So tonight we're going to focus on unusual types of Tzuras HaPesach, meaning the easy Tzuras HaPesach is kana mikan, kana mikan, kana al gabehem. You have a pole, and another pole that runs across, and that's a Tzuras HaPesach. Like right here, 1, 2, 3, we know that that's what a Tzuras HaPesach looks like. But sometimes it's not so simple. So there is a comment of the Mishnah Yaakov that Rav Shechter coincidentally happened to have mentioned yesterday when he spoke. He mentioned that when Rav Soloveitchik was young, he spent a lot of time toward the end of Reb Chaim's life, he learned with Reb Chaim every day toward the end of Reb Chaim's life, and he used to in Brisk, and he would go with the Dayan of Brisk, with Rav Simcha Zelig, every once in a while to go check the Erev. And one of the things Rav Simcha Zelig did was he was makbid for the Mishkanos Yaakov. So what's the Mishkanos Yaakov? What's this hakpada of the Mishkanos Yaakov? So this is something that comes up a lot in our communities. The Mishkanos Yaakov in the Tshuva, in Simen Chuf Chav Gimel, says, V'chein yesh li zoher ba'osan osan tzuras ha-pesach b'chavu mi'lamayla, if instead of a pole on the top, which what we don't use a pole, use a string on the top. So Mishkanos Yaakov says you need to be very careful. V'darko achar kach limatach v'nichpa lamata bi'igul v'gam hu na v'nad ana v'ana. He says over time, strings begin to sag. So we use fishing wires so that it shouldn't sag. But sometimes over time, let's say we're not using a fishing wire, let's say we're relying on power lines or cable lines for the Tzuras HaPesach, so over time you'll see a significant sag in the lines. So Mishkanos Yaakov said that's no good. That passels the Eruv if it goes, and he says, but he makes 2 points. He says, first of all, Nichba Lamata Bi Eagle, it becomes like a semicircle that as it dips down, Vigam Hu Na V'Nad Ana V'Ana. He says it also blows in the wind one way and the other. It could move too much. So his raya, whatever his raya is, but that's the sheet of the Mishkanos Yaakov. Now, the Avnei Nezer doesn't agree with the Mishkanos Yaakov, and he says, what are you talking about? A lot of times you have, maybe it's important to say the raya. The raya is from the case about we've discussed, if you have an arched doorway, if you have a doorway where the whole doorway is a circular arch. So in that sugya, it seems that the eagle, the circular part, is not considered the kana ha'elyon, it's considered part of the wall. It's not considered to be the top the top piece, it's considered to be part of the side pieces. And only where it's straight, that's where the mashkof actually kicks in. But if you have an arched doorway, only where it flattens out at top is it considered to have a mashkof. Prior to that, it's not considered to be a mashkof. So the Gemara says, you see from there, that you don't need the mashkof to reach, you don't need the side post to reach the mashkof, because it's circular and the side posts don't actually touch the mashkof. When it's circular, the mashkof is up above where the side posts stop, where the curvature gets too great. So he suggests that whenever something is curved, we can't view that as a mashkof. So it wouldn't make a difference if it's curved that way or if it's curved that way, meaning whether it's curved upwards or curved downwards. Furthermore, a Tzuras HaPesach has to be done in a way that it has to be Kederach Tzuras HaPesach. People who know how to construct a Tzuras HaPesach would build something that looks like that. So if a Tzuras HaPesach is done in a way that no one would ever build, even if you would build an arch doorway, you would never build a reverse arch. You get a contractor here, right? You wouldn't last too long on a job. If you built reverse arches in doorways, people would bang their heads a lot if you did that. So you only build an arch going that way. You don't build an arch going the other way. So that's not normal Tzuras HaPesach. It's not a normal way to do it. So that Rav Shechter, what he mentioned yesterday, he actually writes in Nefesh HaRav, on page 170 in Nefesh HaRav, that when Rav Soloveitchik used to walk around with the Dayan and Brisk, they used to tighten all these strings because he was makbid for this Shita of the Mishkanos Yaakov. So who disagrees? Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in a tshuva in Har Tzvi says that a sagging wire is totally fine, as long as you have at least 3 tefachim worth of wire that doesn't go within 10 tefachim of the ground. Meaning, as long as you don't have 3 tefachim worth of wire within 10, that's the way to say it, as long as you don't have 3 tefachim worth of wire within 10 tefachim of the ground. Now, when you're dealing with power lines, if it were to ever get that low, you'd have bigger problems, right? We always are very careful that the power lines not dip that low. They're way high up. They just happen to sag a little bit. So according to Tzvi Pesach Frank, there would be no issue whatsoever with that kind of sagging in the wire. He says, as long as it's more than 10 tefachim off the ground, then it's perfectly fine. There are other rayos also. The Gemara brings a case. The Gemara in Erev and Daf Yud Aleph tells us about a guy who had this open field, and he stuck poles in four corners of his field, and he ran vines along the top of the poles in the four corners of his field, and that way he had a Tzuras HaPesach on all four sides. Pole, pole, vine running across the top, pole, pole, vine running across. Now, if you've ever seen vines, vines don't really hold that tight. It's not the way they're going to sag. There's going to be a little zigzag in the vine. That's just the nature of the vines. And yet we call that a Tzuras HaPesach. So it must be that that's so some of the Achronim say, yeah, because Pischei Shimai, the idea of a crazy Pesach, is only a problem in Hilchos Mezuzah. There's no problem of a crazy Pesach in Hilchos Erevin. And whenever we talk about any of the unusual types of Tzuras HaPesach in Erevin, we always have to keep that in the back of our mind, that there is one shita that holds that we don't care how unusual a Tzuras HaPesach is by Erevin, it's not an issue by Erevin, it's only an issue by Mezuzah. If you have a Tzuras HaPesach that looks weird, so that Tzuras HaPesach, obviously weird is a relative term, but it has to be, you know, weird as defined by halacha, that's going to be a Tzuras HaPesach, it's not chayiv and mezuzah. It may not necessarily relate automatically to Erevin, so we always have in the back of our mind the fact that Rabbeinu Yaakov Milisa, the Nesivos, holds that any weird-looking Tzuras HaPesach will not passel an Erev. So that we always have in the back of our mind anyway. But even if we say that weird-looking Tzuras HaPesach does passel an Erev, it seems from here that a sagging Tzuras HaPesach would not passel the Erev. So what's the minhag in our communities? So some communities are makbid about this. Most, I think, are not within reason. They usually try to make sure that the horizontal wire can sag up until 3 tefachim, meaning the Erevin that try to be a little more, I think most of the communities try to at least compromise to the point that the sag shouldn't be greater than 3 tefachim. Not like we were saying before, that as long as it doesn't sag to within 10 tefachim of the ground. No, it's way high up, but the sag from its highest point shouldn't be greater than 3 tefachim, which is a serious problem with power lines. I mean, if you're relying on power lines, a lot of times you can't, 3 tefachim is not very big. 3 tefachim 9 to 12 inches, so you easily have such a sag in power lines. So that could be that could be an issue when it comes to power lines. Okay, so that is that's one type of unusual Tzuras HaPesach. There is another type of unusual Tzuras HaPesach, a slanted Tzuras HaPesach. Tzuras HaPesach, like we said, should be built like a doorway. So what if one pole is taller than the other? So it's not that it's sagging, it's on a straight line, it's tight, it's a fishing wire, but it's just slanting. When it's slanting down because one pole is much higher than the other. Now that could happen for two reasons. Either using two different sized poles, or the ground is not even, right? If the ground is raised on one side and lower on the other side, and you put up two even-sized poles, so you could have a sag on the top. So this is a discussion in Poskim as well. One could argue that that should be possible, because most of the time when you build the doorway, you try to build it even. If everything is slanted, it's going to look strange. That would look very, very unusual. And again, using the contractor mashal, you come into your house and all the doorways are slanted on top, that would be highly unusual. So the Mishnah Brura in Siman Shin Samach Bey says that even if it's slanted, it's still kosher Tzuras HaPesach. And Sharatzion, he quotes from Rabbi Kiveger, however, that if it's very slanted, then it would be a pasul Tzuras HaPesach. If it's extremely slanted, then it would be a pasul Tzuras HaPesach. So what does that mean? Very slanted, a little slanted? What's a good slant? What's a bad slant? Meaning, obviously, as long as visually we discussed in the past, whether you have to measure things with with sophisticated equipment, or you could just visually look like and see if it looks like it's slanted. So we said clearly the halacha is that visually, as long as it looks straight, that's okay. You don't need to use sophisticated equipment to make sure that there's no angle whatsoever. It's just like checking lettuce for bugs and like everything else. You don't need to use sophisticated equipment if you can't see it with your eyes, as long as you have reasonably good eyes. If you can't see it, the normal human eye can't see it, so then it doesn't exist in halacha, right? So that we've discussed Rav Moshe's tshuva with the bottom of tefillin. Remember, Rav Moshe holds that someone asked Rav Moshe if bottom of tefillin look like they're square, but if you take very precise measuring equipment and you measure it and it's not exactly square, is it still kosher? He says, of course it's still kosher, and he refused to believe the Lashon Hara that they told him that the Briska Rav held that it was possible. So I can't believe Briska Rav would ever say such a thing. I don't believe it. Okay, whether you believe it or not, but generally speaking, it's just we can measure things with our eyes. But how much, when Rabbi Kivager says it's got to be very slanted in order for it to be a problem, when that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes, so what does that mean, to be very slanted? So Rabbi Eider, in his Sefer and Hilchas Erev, Rabbi Eider was a very unique talent, and he was a little bit ahead of his time. Rabbi Eider Zichron Levrach, he passed away a few years ago. He was probably the first to really write sophisticated halacha svarim in English. His halacha svarim were sophisticated, they were clear as anything, very clearly outlined. The footnotes always included some nice additional Torah. Very, very talented. So he wrote, all of his books are called Halachos Av, and then fill in the blank. Halachos of Nida, Halachos of Erev, Halachos of Shabbos. So in the Halachos of Erev, Rabbi Eider quotes from Rav Aaron Cutler. He also has a lot of psukim. I should mention another thing. One of his great contributions to Jewish literature was the fact that he wrote all these fantastic svarim. Another great contribution he made to Jewish literature was that he asked Rav Moshe Feinstein so many questions. So he forced Rav Moshe to write tshuvas about all these things. So had it not been for Rabbi Eider, all of Rav Moshe's shitas about Bishul B'Shabbos, we would probably know very, very few of them. Because Rabbi Eider sent him a whole long shaila. It was like 30 shailas about Bishul B'Shabbos for his sefer that he was writing. And Rav Moshe went through each one and answered. And that's the tshuva, Nigros Moshe, about Bishul B'Shabbos. So that was also a great thing. Sometimes it's not just the sefer that you write, it's what you're able to draw out of the Gedolim, what you're able to get to get them to do. So he got Rav Moshe and Rav Aaron Cutler. Rav Aaron Cutler never wrote, I mean, they have, they print the Mishnas Rabbi Aaron, but it wasn't, he didn't really publish his own svarim as far as I know. The Mishnas Rabbi Aaron, Machon Mishnas Rabbi Aaron in Lakewood is publishing all of his Torahs. But Rav Aaron, first of all, his shiurim in general were on a level that most people didn't understand. Most of the people in the shiur didn't understand. It was an extremely quick mind, and people couldn't keep up. It wasn't like it was like the opposite of the way Rav Soloveitchik gave shiur. Also a very quick mind, but Rav Soloveitchik's talent was that no matter who you are, you could follow because he was so clear in every step, and no matter how high a level or lower level you were on, you got something out of it. Rav Aaron was just a dizzying genius, and people couldn't keep up. So he got Rabbi Eider also got a lot of the Piskei Halacha from Rav Aaron Cutler. So all that just to tell you that Rav Aaron Cutler says that the angle that a slanted Tzuras HaPesach would be no good is 45 degree angle. That up until a 45 degree angle, that's okay. And he says even according to Rabbi Kivager, even Rabbi Kivager says that a bad angle is no good. Up until 45 degrees is a good angle. That's okay. So that's pretty significant. That's a pretty reasonable slant. It gives us a lot of leeway. The Sefer Nesivos Shabbos disagrees. He thinks anything more than a 22 degree angle is going to be a problem. But when you look around, next time, you know, if you're more sensitive to these things, now that we learn Erev and you learn Hilchos Erev and you walk around communities and you look at a Tzuras HaPesach, now you see not all Tzuras HaPesachs are created equally. That they're not all up to the same standards. They don't all have the same hakpados in building community Erevin. And again, if you have a slanted Erev, so we could always keep in the back of our mind. First of all, it's not so pashut that there's a psul of a slant in the first place. Rabbi Kivager was masupuk, so he thinks you should be makbid if it's a very strong slant. And even if we are makbid about a very exaggerated slant, how do we define exaggerated slant? The old like Rav Aaron's 45 degrees, the Nesivos Shabbos 22 degrees, and then in the back of our mind, you always have the Nesivos. The Nesivos says it's Tzuras HaPesach, look at it as weird as you want, and it's not going to be a problem. It's only an issue when it comes to mezuzah. It's not an issue when it comes to when it comes to Hilchas Erevin. Another issue that the Poskim deal with, we're going to just try to go through all the different unusual types of Tzuras HaPesach. The Prima Gadim writes, what if you have a Tzuras HaPesach over water? Meaning you have a body of water, and the way the wires run, or the way the telephone poles are set up, is that the only way to surround the community is by putting a Tzuras HaPesach over water. So what's the problem? It's a perfectly good Tzuras HaPesach. Pole over there, pole over there. You have a nice tight wire on top. Problem is, the Tzuras HaPesach is not just supposed to be L'chora, one could argue, is not just supposed to be something that looks like a doorway, but something that you can actually walk through, something that is a doorway, that a person should be able to walk through. So the Prima Gadim in Siman Shin Samach Gimel writes that a Tzuras HaPesach al Gabi Mayim doesn't work, because lo avdi inchi, people don't make a Pesach like that. Who makes a Tzuras HaPesach? Right over water. You can't walk on water, so it's obviously, Prima Gadim says, can't be that it's a valid Tzuras HaPesach. Chassam Sofer disagrees. He says it could be that a Tzuras HaPesach Gabi Mayim is perfectly fine. Why? Because Tzuras HaPesach, we only have to, as long as it fits the bill of a Tzura of a Pesach. If there would be such a psul al Gabi Mayim, well, they had water in the days of the Gemara, but the Gemara never said anything about Tzuras HaPesach being a problem al Gabi Mayim. How could you make up a Chumrah that doesn't appear anywhere in Shas? You can't just make up your own Isurim if it doesn't appear anywhere in Shas. So no one before the Prima Gadim thought of this problem. Tzuras HaPesach al Gabi Mayim, the Chassam Sofer doesn't believe it. Chassam Sofer writes in a tshuva in Simon Pei Zayin. Chassam Sofer's tshuvas are also very interesting. Chassam Sofer's major contribution to halacha is his tshuvas. He wrote some chidushim on Shulchan Aruch also, but typically when people are quoting Chassam Sofer, it's always from the tshuvas. I think Chassam Sofer, you know, Shachter told us once, Chassam Sofer used to write his tshuvas like between Mincha Mariv and Yeshiva. He would just quickly sit down to write his tshuvas. You know, that's like his kilachar yad. You know, he just happened to pump out a couple of tshuvas every day while he was waiting for it to get dark enough to daven Mariv. Unbelievable, but that's his the legacy in the shalos and tshuvas. Rav Shachter met someone, one of my talmidim asked me, Rav Shachter mentioned yesterday that Rav Soloveitchik didn't read Chassam Sofer's. So he said, what do you have against the Chassam Sofer? He didn't have anything. I don't think he had anything against the Chassam Sofer. There were certain, many of the Gedolim of the previous generation didn't just read everything that they can get their hands on. They were too focused on Shas and Shulchan Aruch and the basics that they didn't just read every Sefer. If you look at Rav Moshe's Tshuvas and you look at Rav Avadya Yosef's Tshuvas, totally different. Rav Avadya shakes out every single Marah Makom, any Sefer you could ever quote. Rav Avadya makes sure any Sefer you did hear of, you didn't hear of, doesn't make a difference. He'll quote it. Every single thing under the sun. Because that's his style. His style is to read everything. His style is also to remember everything. Rav Moshe will quote Rabbi Kiva Eger. He'll quote Chassam Sofer. He'll quote Nidbi Yehuda. Not much more than that. Shlomo Kluger once in a while, but not much more than that. He didn't read through every Prima Gadim. He knew Baal Peh. Unbelievable. He knew, Rav Shachter told me, he was once sitting at the same table as Rav Moshe at a chasana, and someone came over and asked him a shayla, and Rav Moshe thought, for some reason, that the guy was trying to chap him, that the guy was trying to see if maybe he didn't know. So Rav Moshe told him, oh, the Prima Gadim says, and whatever, he gave him the answer. The guy walks away, and Rav Moshe turns to Rav Shachter and says, he thought he would chap me on nothing of Prima Gadim. What was he thinking? He knew Prima Gadim Baal Peh. It was unbelievable. But that's what he focused on. Rav Soloveitchik had his own interest in different Sfarim. And apparently, the Chassam Sofer, I didn't know this before yesterday, but apparently the Chassam Sofer wasn't one of them. Rav Soloveitchik used to know Minchas Chinuch backwards and forwards, because by the time he had turned bar mitzvah, he had finished the entire Minchas Chinuch. When he was a little boy, and his mother would tell him to go to sleep, he would hide under his covers reading Minchas Chinuch. So, like most little boys, that's what he was doing. He was reading Minchas Chinuch under his cover. So the entire Minchas Chinuch before his bar mitzvah. It's really unbelievable. So the Prima Gadim, so Chassam Sofer says, what, Prima Gadim is the first person to think of making the Tzuras HaPesach over water? He's not the first person to think of it. The Gemara must have thought of it, and it obviously wasn't a problem. So therefore, we could definitely be Mekel. The Marsham also brings another Tzad Kula over here to be Mekel with Tzuras HaPesach over water. And again, with all of these Tzadei Kula, we also keep in the back of our minds the Nesivis, that no matter how strange the Tzuras HaPesach is, that's only a problem for mezuzah, it's not a problem for erevin. Now, the shaila that I began to discuss last week that I thought was an interesting one, and this comes up in a significant way in Hilchos Mezuzah as well. The Poskim are done. What about a Tzuras HaPesach that you can't go through? Meaning, let's say there's a mechitza right there in the Tzuras HaPesach that's not halachically won't count as a wall. If halachically it would count as a wall, then you're fine because it closes off anyway. But let's say halachically it doesn't count as a wall. It's raised more than three tefachim off the ground. So halachically that's no good because even though we have a concept, dine mechitzos in general are halacha l'moshe misinai. So we know mechitza is a wall. Good. But what are the details? What does halacha consider a wall? So we have din of lavud, for instance, halacha l'moshe misinai. The fact that anything less than three tefachim is considered to be closed in. Good achis and good asik mechitza. The p'tikri yari v'sosim. The fact that when you have a wall that's already ten tefachim high, we view it as if it continues to go straight up. So for instance, if you stand on a roof of a building and the roof doesn't overhang the side walls of the building, even though the roof doesn't have a makot, which it should have a fence around it, but even if it doesn't, it's considered in Hilchos Shabbos to be surrounded by four walls. Where are the walls? It doesn't look like there are any walls. No, but the walls of the building, since there are at least 10 tefachim walls, are viewed as if they continue straight up ad the rakia. We view them as if they go all the way up. And the same thing, the halacha l'moshe misinai tells us in terms of going down. When you have a mechitza that's hanging in midair, so if it's a 10 tefach mechitza, even though it's more than 3 tefachim off the ground, we should view it as if it continues to go straight down. But the Gemara says, since such a mechitza won't be very good to keep little animals out of your field, so it doesn't count as a valid mechitza. It's like Zdakri Gdib Bas Rosh, a little animal could walk, crawl right under it, so then it's not going to be, if things can get right under it, so then it's not going to be a kosher mechitza. So what if you have such a thing? You have a Tzuras HaPesach, so it's perfectly shaped Tzuras HaPesach, everything's good, a tight wire on top, everything's wonderful, but there's a mechitza tluya. There's a hanging mechitza right in the middle of Tzuras HaPesach. So here's the Tzuras HaPesach, and you just have a solid wall, like a board, right over there. So does that count as a Tzuras HaPesach, when you have a board that will block you from walking in? So Rabbi Simon in Imre Baruch, we saw Rabbi Simon this morning, I was telling him how much I'm enjoying Imre Baruch and Erevin. He happened to have written Svarim on Chumash with beautiful drashas and Chassidish Torah and beautiful things. And he says, you know, everyone always tells me about Imre Baruch and Chumash. I'm so happy someone's reading the Erevin Sefer. I said, I'm not just reading, I'm sharing it with everybody. So I said, you know, you really have a gift of taking complicated topics and making them so much simpler. I said, I hope you're doing more stuff. He said, yeah, I'm working on a Sefer on the international dateline right now. So I'm not going to give 3 months of shiurim on the international dateline. I don't think. I don't expect anyone to come if I do. But I asked him about the Chabad sheet that we spoke about recently with Australia. Right? We had so he said that Rabbi, the one that puts out the Pesach that used Zichron Levracha used to, Rabbi Blumenkrantz. He said Rabbi Blumenkrantz in his Pesach book always quotes the Chabad Shita as like the only Shita. That's the only Shita that exists. That if you fly from Australia to New York, you keep your own count and keep a different shvus. Unbelievable. He said it's such an unusual Shita that Rabbi Blumenkrantz just assumes it's got to be the correct one. Okay, anyway, so on this issue, Rabbi Simon quotes one of Rabbi Simon's great things. He quotes from everywhere. So he quotes from the Tshuva's Divrei Yoel. So Rav Yoelish Teilbaum, the Satmar Rebbe, Zichron Levracha, was done in this type of case. And he says, where the Mechitza Tlui is blocking the doorway, he says, Aval Be'emes Yesh Lomar O Di Yesh L'Chalik Bazeh De'ein Nikra Ma'akev Ha'Hiluch Kivan She'efshar Leilich B'Kama Mekom L'Sheh Pesach Ahu Be'in Abatim Va'akol Hu Pesach Echad. So what essentially he says, he doesn't exactly deal with this case, but he strongly implies in this tshuva that if there's no way to walk, meaning he discusses a Pesach that's usable in one way but not the other way, and the Rebbe said as long as it's somehow usable, somehow, some way, you can get through it from one side even if you can't get from the other side, that's still called a Pesach. But the implication is that if you can't use it at all, if it's you just can't get through it because it's blocked off, so then that's going to be puzzle. But if you have the ability, let's say you had the board blocked off over here, like this. So it left a little area over here. So you had some way, some area to sneak through on the side a little bit, so then you can get through on the side of the Mechitza Tliya, so then it's all considered one big Pesach, and then it's kosher. It's only if it blocks the Hiluch entirely that it's not going to be called a Pesach. So one could have argued, well, wait a second, if there's a board that blocks it over here, so why is this part of the Tzuras of Pesach? This part is all blocked off by the board. Why should that be called part of the Tzuras of Pesach? He says, no, the whole thing is a Tzuras of Pesach. There could be a psul if you can't walk through. Once you could walk through, even if it's just this much area that you could walk through, the whole thing is still the Tzuras of Pesach. The whole thing still has the status of the Tzuras of Pesach. So Rabbi Simon quotes that the Chazon Ish in Siman Ayin Osi Tes writes, "V'efshar she'in tzorich klal avir b'kol rachav Tzuras HaPesach." Who says that you need the whole width of the Tzuras HaPesach to be open? As long as you have dalet tfachim, you have four tfachim that you could fit through, so that's good enough. That counts as a Tzuras HaPesach. So now, based on this, I started to discuss last week, we have a serious mezuzah shayla. If you have, Akiva knows what I'm talking about because he just built it in the butler's house. There's a, between the kitchen and the dining room, they have, normally Tzuras HaPesach is very straightforward, right? But what if you have a Tzuras HaPesach where, let's say you had a cabinet that came out to here and then ended off over there. So the Tzuras HaPesach was very wide at the top, but then it narrows at the bottom over here. Because something you have something sticking out, something protruding toward the bottom. So what is your Tzuras HaPesach? On the one hand, I could say, well, okay, if I have a pole here and a pole here, so that's my Tzuras HaPesach, and this is, you know, this is where the pole ends. Or do I look at the whole big thing as my Tzuras HaPesach? Meaning, an afkamina would be, do I put a mezuzah on the pole that's right here? If it's 10 tefachim off the ground, do I put a mezuzah up here? What counts as the Tzuras HaPesach? When you walk by the doorway, so it would be weird, it would seem strange to have a mezuzah down there, right, all the way low, but the cabinet is 10 tefachim high off the ground, so it is eligible to be a Tzuras HaPesach. But on the other hand, if you put it on the post, that's, you can't even reach the post when you walk by the doorway because you have this cabinet that's in the way. You can't even reach the actual doorpost. So this is a shayla that's discussed in Hilchos Mezuzah. The Pischei Tshuva on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch quotes from Mahari Zal Melisa in Sidur Tefillah Shalo, the Nesivos, Rabbeinu Yaakov Melisa. He's one of the most prolific authors of his generation. He wrote on everything, the Nesivos. So he wrote a commentary to the Sidur where he says that Oson HaChanuyos Shebebayis Sheosin Mezuzah Achas Min HaKarka Adamashkov U'mezuzah achas she'in magia adamashkov, rak she'konsin asakosa le'erech ama u'yoser. He describes this kind of case where one doorpost goes all the way to the ceiling, all the way to the crossbeam. The other doorpost only goes a little bit. Ima mezuzah she'magia adamashkov hu mi'imina knisa osna mezuzah ba'osna mezuzah. If you have the doorpost on the right side that goes all the way to the mashkov, good, then you have an easy shayla, then it's no problem. If the one on the right side goes all the way up to the mashkov, so then you put it on two-thirds up that doorway, and then you're good. But what if the lower one is on the right side? So then what do you do? So if it's 10 tefachim off the ground, if it's at least 10 tefachim high, put the mezuzah on that doorpost, even though it's very low, even though it's only 10 tefachim off the ground. But if it's not 10 tefachim, if the whole cabinet or the whole doorpost is lower than 10 tefachim off the ground, then you have to put it on the wider area of the doorway. So this would be something that would be, it would look very unusual, but according to the Pischei Tshuva, it sounds that you would have to put it on the low part that protrudes out into the doorway. However, according to the Divrei Yoel, what did we say before from the Divrei Yoel? And even if you can't walk through, if there's something blocking somewhere in that doorway, so how do we view it? What's called the Pesach? So we said the part that's blocking, as long as you're able to get through at any point, the whole thing counts as the Tzuras HaPesach. So yeah, there may be a cabinet or something that's sticking out over here and protruding into the doorway. As long as I can still walk through, this whole thing still counts as my Tzuras HaPesach. So then it would be pashut, you'd put it up here, and not down below where you have the lower post. So this would turn out to be a machlokas achronim. Now there is a sefer, Mikdash Ma'at, and the sefer that Rabbi Simon quotes, sefer Mikdash Ma'at, and some Resh Pevav in Hilchot Mezuzah, says that even if you want to say like the Nesivos, that you put it on the lower part of the doorway, that's only if the lower part of the doorway he says, is within the Shlish HaElyon of the height of the Pesach. A lot of people don't know this. This is a very important halach in Hilchos Mezuzah. You go around to people's houses, no one has a mezuzah in the right place. It's not possible, but no one puts it in the right place. The halach is a mezuzah is supposed to be, the bottom of the mezuzah is supposed to be at the two-thirds mark of the doorway. Ironically, we don't have a mezuzah in the story. There's a shul. The shul's not chayav a mezuzah. So, why do we have in that doorway? A good kasha. Okay, but we don't. It's a whole nice. I could tell you the whole history one day why it ended up that way. But whatever. But you see that mezuzah. If you look where it is probably a little lower than you normally see it in people's homes. The person who came to measure two thirds, and you put at the bottom of the mezuzah should be at the two thirds mark. When you try to do it visually, and you look at what looks like two thirds, we always estimate high. When it comes to, for some reason, our eyes play tricks on us, and people tend to estimate high when they try to figure out what two-thirds of the doorway is. It's kosher. As long as it's within the top third of the doorway, it's kosher. So it's not. It doesn't mean that your mezuzahs are possible if they're too high. But lechadchila, we try to put them in the right at the beginning of the top third of the doorway. So says the Sefer Mikdash Ma'at. Yes, the Nesivus. Yes, the Pesachei Tshuva says in the name of the Nesivus that you should put the mezuzah on the lower part that's protruding into the doorway. But that's only if that lower part that's protruding into the doorway is within the top third of the full height of the doorway, which in the case that I described to you is certainly not. You have something that's 10 tefachim high that sticks out into the doorway, that's nowhere near the top third of the height of the doorway. So he thinks even the Nesivus would agree that in that case you put it on the higher section of the Tzuras HaPesach. So you would definitely do it in the Makom Gavah. And then he says that if the part that protrudes into the doorway is in the top third section, so then you could put it on that even if that part is not 10 tefachim high. Meaning, even if, let's say, the entire doorway is 12 tefachim high, and the part that protrudes out into the door, that's a very unusual doorway to have 12 tefachim high. A lot of times people don't realize, when I go around houses sometimes to help people figure out where to put mezuzahs, people don't even realize that something that's so low could be called a Pesach. They would never even think of it as a Pesach. It's a thing to get into a crawl space, or a little thing into an area where they keep different things. But if you can crawl in and you go in to put things in, and it has a door, and it's 10 tefachim high. 10 tefachim is not very high at all. Let's say the entire door is 12 tefachim high. The thing that protrudes out is 9 tefachim. is 9 tefachim high. So he says, if it's in the Shlisha Elyon, you could put it on the lower thing, even though that lower thing that's 9 tefachim high is not 10 tefachim, so it's not a 10 tefach high post. He suggests you could put it there as well. So it actually turns out to be a fairly complicated Hilchos Mezuzah Shaila. Hilchos Erevin Shaila, not at all, really, because as we said, as long as you can get through the Tzuras HaPesach, then Vaday, there's nothing to talk about, then it would certainly be a good Tzuras HaPesach. Now, a very, very common Hilchos Erevin Shaila, again, relating to unusual types of Tzuras HaPesach, the Shari Tshuva quotes from a sefer from the Tshuvas Ohel Yaakov. It says as follows, the Shari Tshuva in Simen Shin Samach Gimel quotes that Im hi gedola kolkach, achim tasa tzuras hapesach, adayin nishar shir pirtza o pirtzos, de ein osin pesach samach lechavero. How do we do tzuras hapesach normally in a community eruv? Let's say even here, where we have very few tzuras hapesach, we mostly have walls. But along Rosedale Road, we have, or now it's a few blocks past Rosedale Road, there's a whole series of tzuras hapesach. What do I mean, a series? Pole, string, another pole, then right away, another string, another pole, another string. So it's Tzuras HaPesach right next to each other. So he says, is that the way people ever make a Pesach? Who makes doorways in a house like that? You don't make the whole house just doorway, doorway, doorway. You have some wall at some point. So he says, maybe that you shouldn't do that. Maybe Tzuras HaPesach, that a smucha zulazu, shouldn't work. And certainly to surround an entire city with just Tzuras HaPesach, that's very unusual. If it has to be Kedav D'Inshi, it has to be the way people would make a Pesach. Well, that's not the way any normal person would make a Pesach, would make a house. So that's what the Shari Tshuva quotes from the Sefer, from the Tshuvos Ohel Yaakov. So the question is, why is he wrong? Because he has to be wrong. Meaning that's every single community Erev is like that. So in three different places, Rav Shlomo Kluger disagrees with this. In his Tshuvas Ha'elef L'Chashlomo, which is the easiest of Rav Shlomo Kluger's Tshuvas to read, Shlomo Kluger wrote many tshuvas. He wrote these nice, long, big tshuvas, but they published, I don't know, it must have been during his lifetime, I think, they published summaries of his tshuvas, like one-paragraph summaries. Ha'elef l'cha Shlomo. So those are the easier ones to read. It's just the one-paragraph summary. So in Ha'elef l'cha Shlomo, in Siman Kuf Nun Ches, he says that there's no hakpada whatsoever. He says, why? The Gemara we quoted before. Dalid Kundesin Bibika, if you have an open field and a guy sticks four poles in the open field, and what did he do? He ran a vine across the top of the four poles. So he says, is it normal? No, but does it work? According to the Gemara, it does, so that's all you need. It doesn't matter whether you consider it normal or not. According to the Gemara, it says that it works, so there will be no problem. So in his longer tshuvas, in the tshuvas Tuv Tam Vidas, he gives a little more of an explanation. And he points out that he said why he disagrees with the Ol Yaakov. He says, first of all, I've never seen the Sefer Ol Yaakov. Maybe if I saw it, I'd be sold on his argument. But from what I'm told, I'm not impressed with the argument. Because he says, Hare Shas Arucha Soser Devarav. We have the Gemara that's clearly against him, the Gemara that we just pointed out, with the four poles and the vines that run across the top of them. And he says, plus, let's say, he explains as follows. He says the Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Samach Beis, Mi Osa Psachav Keilu Lios Kala Dal Ksalim Klu Psachim. He said, I'm sorry. Shulchan Aruch paskins that the Dal Kundesin works. That four poles with the Zmoros running across the top works. And he says, does anyone do that? No one does that to build a house to make Psachim all around on all four sides. So Elamai, so what's the Pshat? So why is it okay if no one does it? He says, Bal Karchuch Dal Karchuch Da'adka Lo Amrin and the Pesach Kai Lo Abdi Inchi. Rak im beguf haPesach havi chisaron. Very important chiluk. Yeah, there is a concept of pischi shimayim, of weird tzuras haPesach that might be possible. You don't have to accept the nesivos, right? Maybe a weird tzuras haPesach possible is an erev also. What does that mean? A weird tzuras haPesach when the tzuras haPesach itself is shaped in a weird way. The guf haPesach lo havi ke'en Pesach. The actual tzuras haPesach doesn't look like a Pesach. Avlim guf haPesach. Havi ke'en Pesach, rak shechavero yazik lo, but if the actual Pesach looks like a perfectly good Pesach, it just happens to be it has a neighboring Pesach, and then another neighboring Pesach, and another neighboring Pesach, but there's nothing wrong with this Pesach, lezeh lo amrina rak kol chad nidum defnei atzmo kePesach. You could look at each one individually, say, is that a good tzuras haPesach? Yeah. Next one? Yeah, it's good. You don't have to pay attention to the idea of pischi shimai is not about the big picture, it's about the little picture, each tzuras haPesach on its own. So that's his shita, and he writes this in the Kuntres Yosef Das as well, that the yisod is, you always look at each Pesach bifnei atzma. And then, as the extra sniff lahakel, we could always add in the nesivus as well, that the nesivus also holds pischi shimai in general, is not a problem in Hilchus Erevin, and this is v'chein amadvar, this is the minhag of the entire world. Everyone is mekel on this issue. You've never seen a community Erevin that doesn't rely on this, that allows for one Pesach after another Pesach. We always allow tzuras haPesach next to each other. The last, not the last, but another issue relating to unusual tzuras haPesach. As I mentioned before, there's a din in all of Erevin, in Sukkah, anything in all dinei mechitzah is called lavud. That whenever you have less than three tefachim of empty space, we view it as if it's closed up. What if you have a tzuras haPesach that starts, that employs lavud? You have a tzuras haPesach that you need, in order to have a tzuras haPesach, you need a pole here, a pole there. What's the definition of a pole here, a pole there? 10 tefachim high. So what if it's about 5 tefachim, then an empty space of 2 tefachim, and then another 4 tefachim? So is that a good enough tzuras haPesach? Does that count as a mashkuf? Does that count as a side post for a tzuras haPesach? Would we use lavud? Would that be considered a mezuzah? So the Gemara in Erevin Daf Tesvav Amud Aleph tells us, Avnei Geder Hayotis Mira Geder Muvdalo Zumizu. Meaning, in order, if you have stones that stick out of a wall that are less than three tefachim apart from each other, they themselves can become the lechi. Where do we ever need a lechi? So this is in context in the Gemara Maseches Erevin. We need a lechi when you're dealing with a mavoi. Lechi is if you have a mavoi that's a sasum that's closed on three sides and the fourth side is open. So on the daraisa level, you're allowed to carry wherever you want. It's all a rishus hayachid, right? But midrabanan, they were masakin. They have to somehow put some sort of enclosure on the fourth side. So what do? You either put a beam across the top or you put a lechi. You put a pole on one side. Or the other case where you would need a lechi is in a chatzer. In a chatzer, where several houses are in a chatzer, and there's an opening to the chatzer, so by a chatzer, we're a little more machmir. It's ironic. You would think by a mavoi, it's a more public area, you'd be more machmir in what it takes to enclose a mavoi, to allow you to carry in a mavoi. The Gemara says, by a chatzer, we're more machmir. One lechi is not enough. You need either a pas arba'a, either need a four tefach board, or you need two lechis, one on either side of the chatzer. The reason we're more machmir by a chatzer is specifically because it's a more private area. It used to be that what they would use the chatzer for, it's hard to visualize unless you've ever seen communities built like this, but the way they would use the chatzer, they'd have multiple houses built in a single courtyard, and they would go do their laundry in the yard, they would light their Neros Chanukah, they would do all sorts of community, you know, very tight-knit, everyone lived on a cul-de-sac. It was like their own little cul-de-sac that they lived on, and that chatzer opened up into a mavi, which was a larger area. So Chazal saw the need to be more machmir by the chatzer than they were by the mavoi, because since the chatzer is such a private area, so much more private than the mavoi, what's going to constitute a mechitza that actually gives you privacy is going to be a much higher definition of mechitza than what constitutes a mechitza for what you need for a mavoi. You don't need so much of a mechitza for a mavoi. A mavoi is pretty public. So they were more makel with what they allowed in a mavoi than they were with what they allowed in a chatzer. But when the Gemara describes what it means to have a lechi, to have a ten tefach high post, so it says stones sticking out of the wall, as long as they stick out within three tefachim of each other, that's good enough. So apparently we use lavud for the sake of a lechi. So in the Sefer Tosefos Shabbos says, yeah, that's true for a lechi, but not for Tzuras HaPesach. Why? Because it's Pischi Shimai, because we said it's all based on this idea of these crazy psachim. That anytime the Tzuras HaPesach looks strange, then it's not. So even though lavud works halachically to connect things, but it doesn't pass the eyeball test. Pischi Shimai means that you have to be able to look at it. It has to look normal. So therefore, lavud would not work. Now again, according to the Nesivus, it vaday would work, because the Nesivus holds nothing has to pass the eyeball test. The Sefer Tiferes Yaakov says that maybe there's some compromise opinion. He says if there's a lechi that's 10 tefachim and it's lifted lifted off the ground less than 3 tefachim, meaning the lechi, if let's say the mezuzah itself, the doorpost itself, is 10 tefachim high, but it doesn't go all the way down to the ground, and this happens sometimes. This they'll have to, they'll slap a lechi on the side of a telephone pole, and sometimes it's not directly touching the ground. It's a few inches off the ground. So you can say that that's possible to use for a Tzuras HaPesach because it's off the ground. You're not going to employ lavud on a Tzuras HaPesach. So true, we have the Nesivus who says Pischi Shimai is not a problem. We have the idea that maybe you're allowed to use lavud. But even if you don't want to rely on any of those things, if the lechi itself is 10 tefachim, so to just connect it to the ground, this says that Tiferes Yaakov, that for sure you could use lavud for. You can't use lavud to make it 10 tefachim to begin with. But if it is 10 tefachim, just to bring it down to the ground, that you could rely on lavud for. Okay.